Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Steve. It says, "Hi, Ben and Nathan. I've run into an odd situation. Santa Clara University is ranked number 126 overall." That's by U.S. News and World Report. "Yet number 4 in intellectual property, behind only Stanford, Cal Berkeley, and NYU. I'm an engineer looking to get into patent law, specifically big law. Would it be more beneficial for me to attend a tier 1 school that has higher overall ranking but lower IP ranking? Or Santa Clara that has a much lower overall ranking but higher IP ranking? I plan on taking the patent bar before law school since I'll have a gap year, just in case that makes a difference." And that is from Steve. I guess Ben's looking something up online, but I will make a brief remark, which is patent bar. If you have a technical background, being a patent examiner is a really, really good idea. If you take the patent bar, you can work during law school and get paid potentially a lot of money while you're in law school. It is, law schools know this, that it makes you a very attractive applicant. I am pretty certain that you'll end up going to Santa Clara on a full ride. Is that what you're looking at, Ben?
Well, no, actually I was curious, what the big, you want to go into big law. So look at the school and figure out what percentage of those applicants or those students are going into big law.
What'd you find?
Well, let's see here. One second. I just found the number. Okay. So Santa Clara is ranked number 50 for placement at large law firms. Unfortunately, I'm not seeing the number of students who actually end up working at large law firms. What was that link we had the other day?
Were we on Law School Transparency?
I think we were. Yeah, I think we were. Law School Transparency. Okay. Please.
Yeah, Law School Transparency, Santa Clara University Law School.
What's it say?
10.5% of 2020 graduates went into public service. 11.5% went to national law firms. 0% went to federal clerkships. 16.7% went into small law firms. That only adds up to 40%.
what's going on there?
Yeah.
Is that correct? I don't know if that's correct.
Their overall employment score is really bad. Okay, so it's not a good law school. Like, there are tons of people who go there who pretty much have no business in law school at all.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, 2019 grads, 60% of them have jobs. 2020 grads, 48.3% of them have jobs. That is like jobs that require a JD. Underemployment score. That reflects graduates who are underusing their skills and credentials. These graduates have not started a professional career, legal or otherwise. 2020, a full third of the class, 33.5% of 2020 grads are underemployed. 2019 grads, that's 27.5%. So more than a quarter of the class. I mean, that's like, I think what you end up with at Santa Clara is a lot of rich kids who are there kind of filling up the bottom of the class, paying full tuition. If you look at their scholarships, do you have their 509 up? 509 Santa Clara.
Or LSAT Demon Daily, LSATdemon.com/scholarships has all.
That would have been a faster way to get to it, because Google is taking me to some weird page that then has links. Okay, now I got the PDF. 2021 Standard 509 Information Report. Santa Clara, you know, see this, they have on their 509, they're reporting the tuition by credit, per credit, $2,000 per credit.
Well, that's really helpful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you can multiply it by 30, right?
Presumably.
Yeah. So in a year of credits. So yeah, it's like getting up there to in the $50,000 to $60,000 range. Grants and scholarships. 50% of their class gets some sort of discount.
Yep.
32% of the class gets less than half tuition. 16% of the class gets half to full tuition. 3% of the class gets full tuition. Not the worst as far as scammerships are concerned. There are far, far worse offenders. The school is only giving 19% of their class more than 50% off. Still, that's a big chunk of people who are paying less than half tuition. And we don't know, you know, the half to full, that could be a hell of a lot of people getting full, close to full, like almost full, right?
Yeah.
If I was a law school, I would do that. Would you not game this data that way, Ben? I would give 99% scholarships. I would not give 100% scholarships. I would give 99% scholarships, and then I would report people in that half to full bucket.
Yeah.
Because then when I negotiate with other students, I would be able to say, well, yeah, we do give, 16% of the class gets a half to full, but you know, they're still paying. They're still paying mm-hmm. tuition.
Yep.
And we're going to give you $0. You're going to pay full price. But the 75th percentile grant amount is $35,000. So that's, solidly over 50% of the tuition. Those numbers actually feel slightly potentially off. Because I would expect a school like that to be giving far more in scholarships. Maybe that's why they're so low ranked, though. I mean, they're not attracting very good applicants, right? Their 75th percentile LSAT is 160. Their 25th percentile LSAT is 155.
Yeah.
So they're admitting a lot of people who are just like not super killers.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. So, okay, back to Steve's question. You know, the thing is, how many of those people, though, like if we look at that, back to law school transparency, and we look at the quick stats, like only half of those people are getting jobs.
Yep.
God, that's so bad. Man, their first time bar pass rate is below 70% as well. So it's just like they're admitting a lot of people who are paying a lot of money who are never practicing law.
But these people who, so these percentages, for example, 11.5% go to national law firms, right? Well, I would say you're really, if you're getting there and you're going for free, then you're part of that top 50% that's really competing. So it's not 11. It's like 22%, right? 23% chance that you're going to go to a national law firm. These questions though, they're tough because it's like, should you go to a tier one? Yeah, well maybe, but what are you going to pay for that? And are your only options tier one or Santa Clara? No, it's tier one and then something else. So.
Right. Like this, right. So you could get, like if you could actually get into Stanford or Berkeley or NYU,
yeah,
then you could get a full ride to UCLA. And I don't give a shit what they're ranked in IP law.
Yeah.
Big UCLA,
firms are going to respect that. They're going to interview, and then you're going to be more competitive because you have this patent bar in your application that other applicants don't have.
I'm not saying don't go to Santa Clara, because you could go to Santa Clara for free. It's a super beautiful campus. It's perfect weather.
Place. Yeah.
It's adjacent to the San Jose airport. It's in Silicon Valley. Like there are going to be tons of connections all the time. It's like super close to Stanford. It's super close to just where all the big tech companies started. It's, there's going to be lots of opportunities, especially for somebody who did patent stuff. Like if you're working in patent law, getting paid while you're going to law school, I'm sure Santa Clara is a great place for that. You're going to make all kinds of contacts. You're almost guaranteed going to kick ass in law school there because the competition is going to be really soft. And they do send some people into big law. What was that number again?
11.5%.
11.5% in national law firms, whatever that means. Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, those are the people who are making $180,000, $200,000 right out of law school. And if you're there on a full ride, they only give 3% of their class full rides. So if you're there on a full ride then it's you are gonna be you. Very likely to be that person. Yeah. I mean, not to say that it's going to be easy, but you're very likely to kick ass while you're there. Do they give conditional scholarships?
Good question.
Yes, many. I want to talk about conditional scholarships a little bit because I don't think that they are as bad of a ripoff as people think they are, as long as you're willing to drop out. In the 2020-2021 academic year, there were 154 people who matriculated
with a
scholarship.
Is it with a scholarship or a conditional scholarship? I think it's just the conditional. Maybe. Assuming they don't have conditional scholarships as well, or maybe all their scholarships are conditional. 154. Hold on. Yeah, we can figure this out.
Yeah, because it was their scholarship matrix, they're reporting the whole school. So 730 students in the entire school, 50% of those getting grants.
It sounds like it's 100%. It sounds like 154 students only
got scholarships.
So these 154 students who have conditional scholarships are probably all the students who got scholarships. I don't think they offer.
But then 55 of those 154, so more than a third of them, had their scholarship reduced or eliminated.
Yeah.
The problem, and that sounds scary, and it is scary if you're committed to finishing law school.
Yeah.
But it's a perfectly reasonable plan in my estimation. If Steve goes to Santa Clara and he's unable to keep his scholarship, so 2/3 of other scholarship recipients outperform Steve on his law school exams, you're not doing well. you're off to a bad start. And I think it's perfectly reasonable at that point to say, okay, well, I didn't pay for my first year. They're going to make me pay for my second year, but I really didn't do very well during my first year. So I'll just drop out. I don't see what's wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's one way of not paying for law school. Cause I've heard some applicants be like, well, I will never take a conditional scholarship. And I'm always thinking, well, wait a second. How do you really want to go to law school? I mean, because if this is your only route to going for free, then what's wrong with that? Like you're going to do well while you're there, right? Surely you want to do well in law school, not do poorly in law school. So if you go to law school, work your ass off and still don't excel, because I mean, you don't even have to like super excel, right? You're going to have to finish in the top. Well, figure out what the restrictions are, but it looks like 1/3 of their scholarship recipients are losing their scholarship, which means that 2/3 of the other scholarship recipients have to beat you, which means, you're not like law school. I mean, lawyering is like zero sum, especially if you're going to go to big law.
Yeah.
They want winners, not losers. They want winners. So if you're not getting good grades anyway, well, then probably the ship is sailing on your big law opportunities anyway.
Yeah.
Then what's wrong with just dropping out? So I wouldn't worry about that so much as a general matter. That's not at all what Steve was asking about, but.
Sure. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't really have anything else to say to Steve except... I think
what about all the schools in between? I mean,
this decision will be easier once you get offers and know what your opportunities are.
Right. Yeah. Apply broadly, see what kinds of offers you actually get. You should not be only applying to Santa Clara, Stanford, Berkeley, and NYU. You should be applying to 15 schools, and there should be a real wide range there. And some other school, if you can get into Stanford, there's going to be some other school in the top 14 that'll let you go for free. And whatever that school is in the top 14 is going to definitely give you a better chance of going to big law than Santa Clara is.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Email daily at LSATdemon.com. If you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news, thanks for listening.